This is yet another in our series, ongoing series of explorations of divine laws of life. Tonight we're focusing on the law of analogy, also known as the law of correspondences. So our question is, what is the law of analogy and how can aspirants best harness it? It should be up on the screen for those of you doing it by computer. And I shuffled the card, laid out the spread, and here we have the following 10 cards. The starting point is the Two of Cups, right side up. The counterpoint is the Moon, right side up. The Moon is number 18 in the Major Arcana, which makes a 9. The challenge is the Three of Pentacles, upside down. The purpose is the Emperor, upside down. The Emperor is number 4. Yep, number 4 in the Major Arcana. The endowment is the Ace of Rods, upside down. The destiny is the Ace of Swords, right side up. So we have two aces in a row there. Going to the Pillar of Revelation, we have the real question is the Queen of Rods, upside down. The unseen forces, the Four of Cups, right side up. The spiritual ideal is the Ten of Pentacles, right side up. And the culmination is the Hermit, right side up. The Hermit being number 9, so we have 2 9s, that being the Moon and the Hermit. We have 3 1s, being the 2 aces and the 10 of Pentacles. And we have 6 upright cards, 4 reverse cards, and we have 3 majors, 1 sword, 2 rods, 2 cups, and 2 pentacles. And so this is the law of analogy, as you know, is simply stated in Hermetic tradition as above, so below. Now, it's important to understand that it's as above, so below, not as below, so above. The conditions on Earth don't dictate don't dictate the nature of spirit. It's the other way around. But there is a sense in which as below, so above works, and that is as you contemplate the nature of life, the nature of man, through the law of analogy, you can discover all different kinds of wonderful things about the life of spirit because of the analogies. And in fact, there are analogies between these images on the tarot and inner truths. And so the art of reading, doing a tarot spread like this to understand the nature of divine life is utilizing, first and foremost, the law of analogy. Of course, there's also a certain amount of intuition that goes with it. But the law of analogy sparks the intuition, and they complement one another nicely. All right, with this prelude, I want to... DK sometimes refers to this law, by the way, as the science of comparison. As you understand something about, say, the law of gravity, that will suggest certain things about the life of spirit to you as you pursue those comparisons. And that's what science actually is. Right now, science is completely marooned in the physical plane and in materialism. It needs to discover the law of analogy and learn to use it to explore the inner dimensions of physical life. And in fact, from that statement, one can conclude that the The law of analogy is one of the key elements in learning to think. As you learn to see analogies and build structures, you learn about life beyond the physical plane, life beyond the planet, life beyond the solar system. And that the mind is quite capable and can easily be trained to establish these analogies and see the relationship between different octaves and different kinds of energies and so on. So all of this is by way of preliminary. We go to the starting point here, which is the Two of Cups, and you have two lovers, male and female, each toasting one another with a champagne vase or goblet or whatever, and the two together form the symbol of infinity. So there's a strong element here of complementary or companionship. And of course, this is one of the ways I like to talk about the relationship of the soul to the personality. The soul is the companion of the personality. The personality is the companion of the soul. And they exist in different dimensions, but their paths are dictated or guided by the soul. And so they etch parallel paths. And the more you can understand about your path in life, the more you can understand about the soul's path. And the more you can understand about the soul's path, the more you can understand, see the meaning of your individual path. So here we have male and female, the opposite dualities here, the separate halves of the duality of the sexes. And in spite of the fact that they each are dissimilar in many ways, if we look for the similarities and the comparisons between them and how the two come together and become as one, as the Christ so poetically put it, the two shall become as one, then we can understand a tremendous amount about the law of analogy, that we can infer the other half from the half we have before us. In other words, from the existence of the personality life and its adventures on Earth, we can train the mind to infer the nature of the soul, the inner essence of, you know, the spirit of America can be inferred from the efforts of this country to demonstrate freedom and expand its goodwill and embrace the world. So any physical plane form that you can find can be used to infer its inner essence. You won't get the whole picture because the inner essence is so much more dynamic. But the very fact that we live in a world of form and solids or seeming solids itself is a fact that we can, through the law of analogy, can be used to infer the nature of the energies of the soul. And so, for example, even though we're still talking about the Two of Cups, let me digress for a moment and point out the Ace of Rods, the Ace of Swords, and the Hermit at the Fulfillment. And these are the two aces are easy enough, and to see their similarities, even though they're of different levels, the mind and spirit. The Hermit is of course carrying his light and looking at the inner dimensions to try to understand. He's searching for meaning and a vision, a revelation. So we have three different levels of energy here. We have the Ace of Swords is the energy of spirit itself, its sense of being. It fulfills its purpose. The Ace of Rods is the ability to interpret energy, as we're doing right here by interpreting these symbols and trying to infer the energy behind each one. And then the Hermit is the search for meaning. So the Hermit would represent the fulfillment of the personality's the lowest aspect of the Trinity. But here we have the three aspects of the Trinity. The Ace of Swords corresponds to life, the Ace of Rods corresponds to quality, and the Hermit corresponds to appearance. And when you put them together in terms of the thinking process, the Hermit initiates the process by searching for meaning. The Ace of Rods expands the process by interpreting what it encounters. And the Ace of Swords completes the process by revealing the inner identity and essence of what you're searching for. So right there we have a triangle, one of DK's famous triangles. And it shows the relationship of created by the law of analogy. The law of analogy, again, states as above, so below. There are correspondences. They're not identical, but they're similar. And so we look for similarities. And in fact, there's a continuum of relationship between us and the Ace of Swords that or spirit, which the law of analogy reveals. So getting back to the Two of Cups here, this can all be summed up figuratively in the idea of companionship. It's not that the soul owns the personality or that the personality owns the soul or possesses it. It's that there's a relationship that can be built up which enriches both parties. The personality contributes to the richness of the soul's life. The soul contributes mightily to the potential enrichment of the personality for healing, for insight, inspiration, blessing, all different kinds of things. And so we are meant to be the companion of the soul, the companion of God. We're cut from cosmic fabric. And the law of analogy reveals that which makes for good companionship, reveals the complementary nature of the male and the female, the complementary nature of the inner and the outer, the complementary nature of the spirit of America and its personality, the nation, the complementary nature of energy and form. And the fact that we're going in parallel directions. We're not fighting one another. There is no conflict here. Growing up, you probably learned in literature class that there's the great stories of literature deal with conflicts. Man against the sea, Moby Dick. Man against civilization. Man against himself. Man against God. Well, that's all well and good from the point of view of literature, but there really are no conflicts in human life. There's resolutions. The conflict indicates a lack of vision and an inability to see how these seemingly disparate beings or forces are one and the same. So this first card, the Two of Cups, is setting a tone that suggests we should approach life with this premise. As above, so below. Nothing happens below, but which potentially can reflect or embody the life above. Now, when we separate ourselves, which is the only sin, when we divorce ourselves from the divine, from spirit, we can generate all kinds of things which and conditions in our life which do seem to be out of step with the divine. But the potential is always there. There's always the potential to bless the physical creation and strengthen its inner contact. So this is our starting point. The outer reveals the inner. We go on then to the second card, the counterpoint, and this is the moon. The moon is a great big quarter moon, filling the whole frame with the sea below it and all these patterns of ancient, or the residue of ancient evil below it. And what this suggests is the energies of Earth life are shaped by larger cosmic forces. What happens on Earth is shaped in part by the moon. It's also shaped by other astrological forces. And our lives are directly impacted by all kinds of forces greater than ourselves. We live as a unit within a larger unit within a larger unit within a larger unit, a life within a greater life within a greater life within a greater life. And the law of analogy shows us the similarities from one level to the next. Where there might seem to be dissimilarities or discordancies, we're on a false track. We're being misled. And so one of the ways you can verify that you're indeed on the spiritual path is through the use of the law of analogy. If somebody claims to be a great leader and will lead America into the future, and you can't find any law of analogy, any correspondence, any analogy between what they are saying and higher truth, then that should be an indicator that this is a false path, a false prophet. The Christ talks frequently about false prophets and wolves in sheep clothing that will lead you astray. The law of analogy as you build the mind, it gives you a basis for determining, this person has been known to lie half a dozen different times that I'm aware of. Therefore, he or she does not speak the truth and therefore cannot be relied upon as a guide to the way life is unfolding or the path we should be following. Or any of the above. But this counterpoint here, the moon, suggests something else as well. This is one of the nines. We have a nine here and a nine in the hermit. And what this is suggesting is the whole concept of the fact that we can reproduce, the mind can reproduce in our own little world, the mechanisms and systems by which we discover life at large. And so, for example, as we talk about in Forces of the Zodiac, one of the ideas here is as we go through each yearly cycle and work with the comments in the book, Forces of the Zodiac, we start to create a miniature or a replica zodiac in our own consciousness, in our own mind. And we begin connecting wires, so to speak. They're invisible, of course. But we begin making connections with the zodiac as large so that we can become a spokesperson for the zodiac, and our lives are in perfect harmony with the zodiac. Along that line, let me point out that one of the things that I've observed over the years, this may seem like a minor point, but if you know how to interpret it, it's not, is I've been impressed over and over and over again, ever since the 80s, well, even the 70s, starting with Gerald Ford and then Reagan and whatnot, the Republicans seem to have a tremendous capacity to do things automatically in sync with zodiacal opportunities. Now, I'm not talking Nancy Reagan here. She became something of an item of ridicule in the leftist press. But I'm talking about making decisions. For example, making a decision to hold a convention where this Thursday, the candidate will be making his acceptance speech within hours of the full moon, so that the convention is actually riding a crescendo of energy here in Virgo, and then will climax almost exactly at the time of the full moon. To me, that shows an automatic connection with higher forces. You can take that for what it's worth. But when the other convention is scheduled during the downward slide to the new moon, that strikes me as an inept ear to the forces of the zodiac. Just an example. In any event, all these systems, the Tarot, the Zodiac, they're all analogies to inner formulas of the Zodiac and of other realities. We see this even in commonplace things in life at large. The musical scale, 7 notes, corresponding to the 7 rays. The colors, 7 primary colors of the prism, there's 7 of them, corresponding to the musical scale, corresponding to the 7 rays. The 7 days of the week. The 7 churches in the book of Revelation. And of course, as you study Alice Bailey, you find that there's the higher 3 and the lower 4 composing and creating the conditions for creation. These are all analogies which, as you learn to think in these terms, gives you a structure for making sense of human life, making sense of your own life. Okay, we move on to the 3 of Pentacles, the challenge is sitting in the challenge position. This is our old friend, the stonemason, working on the one of the 3 pillars of the Tree of Life. And he's helping to build the cathedral. And the question here is he a stonemason? Is he a human being? Or is he a builder of cathedrals? And it's the work of building the cathedral as a whole that gives him a sense of identity. And one of the things that the law of analogy reveals to us is that energy maintains its nature as it descends from spiritual level to mental level to emotional level to physical level. Identity ever remains. This is a quote from the Tibetan. Identity ever remains. And so this is one way in which this can help us is the notion that I've come back to over and over and over again, and that is you take as you consider an idea, you try to trace it back to its source. You try to trace the idea back to its identity. The identity of the spirit of America can help us understand what America is going through in the physical plane. The idea of a cathedral helps us understand what religion ought to be doing. Not building cathedrals, but of course, building the structure of divine life here on earth. And the person that serves that work finds that there's a direct connection through the law of analogy to the identity of God, that we are cut from cosmic fabric. Saying that we're cut from cosmic fabric is pretty much identical to saying as above, so below. We're cut from cosmic fabric and we can reclaim that birthright, reactivate it, and then everything we do will be done in service to the cathedral, in service to heaven, in service to the ideal. As long as we recognize the role we're playing. If we think it's our work, well, we cut ourselves off from God's work. If we think it's the job we have is our boss's work, but not ours, it becomes a drudgery. But if we recognize that it's our Father's work, and that even if it's small and menial, it plays an important role, then this transfigures everything. And it's the law of analogy that establishes this relationship, this connection. We are it's ourselves analogs of spirit. We are here to, as agents of spirit, analogs of spirit. That's our challenge, to no matter how dire the situation, no matter how much we've been wiped out by life itself, we need to recognize that the heart of this episode or experience still takes us back to our spiritual identity. We then have the fourth card here, which is the Emperor. And the Emperor is number four in the Major Arcana. He's sitting on his throne with the ram's heads, and he's got his ankh, his shaft of power there, and growing little flowers and all that. This suggests that the greater life embraces the lesser life, nurtures it, feeds it, sustains it. And we may be unaware of that, but it still goes on during the, you know, God didn't just create human life 500,000 years ago and then forget about it. There's a constant sustaining effort to all of creation. And what we're doing here is we look around and we see the physical forms of life, and we tend to over-identify with them and think that this body is my life. No, the body is a vehicle through which the energy of your true identity expresses itself. And so we need to understand that this nurturing process is the expression of energy. When we, you know, I've got a glass of water here, this represents, the glass of water represents inner life. When I drink of it, I'm drinking water, and my body handles it the normal way. But this is part of the sustenance of life. So everything we do and everything we utilize in life, we see the higher correspondence. We understand the purpose of water and the purpose of the cup bringing it to us. The Emperor is our inner authority. Now, this is an interesting concept here, and I may be stretching your imaginations and your thought process a little bit here, but it's important. And that is that discovering our inner authority is one of the key uses of the law of analogy, the law of correspondence. Because personality really has very little authority. We can presume authority. We can presume authority over our friends and over our acquaintances. But the moment they rebel against it, we find that our authority is not there. Our only real authority is the connection we have to the divine, to the spiritual, and to the fact that we've learned enough and have activated the mind sufficiently that we can now act with spiritual authority. We can act with divine authority. Moses acted with divine authority when he parted the Red Sea, or the Dead Sea, whichever sea it was. Jesus acted with authority when he calmed the Sea of Galilee, the waves of the Sea of Galilee. And we all have this level of inner authority that we need to discover. And how do we discover it? Well, we discover it first and foremost within our own system. We discover that the mind can be trained to calm rough waves of the emotions. The mind can be trained, the spirit can come in to heal the physical body when it ails. These are expressions of authority. Every time you are sick or you're helping somebody who is sick, and you're able to contact the essence of healing and health, which is the sixth subplane of the Buddhic level, and direct that into the physical form, yours or that of somebody else's, to transform it and heal it, you are exercising divine authority. Every time you truly say God bless America and mean it, not just a throwaway phrase, but you truly bless this America, you're acting with authority, the authority of the Spirit of America. Every time you enrich if you're a teacher, and every time you enrich the lives of your students and help them discover something more about life, you're working with the divine authority of teaching. And so we need to see these parallels. These are very significant, active, day-to-day kinds of things. Now, I can also talk, and it's appropriate for the emperor here, this, of course, applies not just to individual humans, but humanity as a whole, mass consciousness, nations, groups. So, for example, the economy. If you want to understand the economy, which very few economists seem to, but we made a good start at it in Walden Ultra this summer when we investigated the underlying philosophy of capitalism, we begin to understand that the economy is completely controlled and expressed through divine laws, the divine principle of abundance, the laws of supply and demand, which might be better relabeled need and nourishment. Where there's a need, nourishment comes in. If the need is focused. So as we learn to understand the inner dimensions, inner workings of divine economy, then we begin to construct a much clearer understanding of human economy. Now, there's lots and lots of competing ideas when it comes to the human economy. And so there's a lot of false paths and confusion that we have to work our way through. And so we hear the constant message that in order to get our budget under control, we have to go another $10,000 in the hock. Well, you know, that may have a certain appeal to people who think like the Greeks and the Italians and the Spaniards, but it doesn't match the inner workings of divine life. So we have here the key to understanding just about anything we might choose to ponder on, using the mind. Any comments and questions before I go on?
Carl, this weekend I was in reading Virgo. I think this is an analogy. It talked about Eve, Isis, and Mary, symbolic of matter.
Sure.
And how, you know, the mental, Isis would represent more the emotional, and Mary actually bringing the Christ consciousness into the physical. And, as I read that, you know, it was just very uplifting to know that humanity, even though we don't see it, if you go way back, you know, to just life in the ocean, you know, there was no real consciousness at all. And when you think of where we've come, you know, we really are closer. Another analogy was in Virgo, you might parallel it to the ninth month of gestation.
Right.
And, you know, in humanity, that we really are coming closer to bringing the Christ consciousness to birth. So those analogies really made sense and clarified for me esoteric, you know, substance of that.
Good. Now, the underlying principle here is that the analogy is kind of like a teaser to the mind to think more deeply about the inner dimensions of life. And as you do that, The idea here is not to, you know, normally schools train students to think by having them differentiate one thing from the other. They train students in critical thinking. Say, this is this, but not this, and this is the dissimilarities, and so it, the normal approach to thinking is to show the dissimilarities. The law of analogy is the complete reverse of that. It is the effort to teach the mind to look for similarities and eventually to find the essential similarity. By essential similarity, I mean if spirit is the essence and soul is the mechanism for expressing that essence, and the form is the receptacle for the essence, then there's a similarity, you see. Our true identity as a human being lies in spirit, the essence of what we're doing. Another way of looking at it is, if the nation is experimenting with freedom, and we understand that the spirit of America is behind this and promoting it, then the essence of that is the essence of freedom. And therefore, we have our three parts, the spirit, the essence, the spirit, and the form, and they all have a essential similarity. Except that the form, when it first took form, didn't have that similarity at all. It's a learned similarity. Through the principle of resonance and many eons of developing this, we've become somewhat responsive to the element of the idea of freedom, and we're working to build our cathedral of freedom. And so this is the law of analogy reveals our essential similarity. Does that make sense? Anything else?
Well, only that I was thinking that this is really what living above the mean is.
Sure.
Realizing that, you know, we're a reflection of spirit and all that lies above, if you will.
Exactly. And that's the whole concept behind the idea of above the mean, because as above, so below. If we understand what's going on above, we can work more effectively below. Okay, let me go ahead now. And we're dealing with the card of the endowment. This is the Ace of Rods upside down. The Ace of Rods is the ace of each one of these suits is the embodies the archetypal force that inspires the whole level. In this case, it's rods, the mind, and so we're dealing with wisdom and knowledge, consciousness, the ability to know. And it is the ability to know that lets us conquer the residue of ancient evil found at the base of the card. Let me mute this for a little bit. Getting a little feedback. Okay, it's what lets us interpret ideas. And this occurs as we develop a stronger and stronger mind and understand that the mind must rule. The mind is central to the whole notion of the law of analogy. It is in the mind that we see the similarities. Once we train the mind to stop emphasizing the dissimilarities and the deficiencies, we start to cultivate the higher mind, the intuition, the Buddhic principle, so that we begin to see the similarities, the parallels, the common identities, the essential similarity, the shared complement. And this is the essence of wisdom. We can therefore learn, through the use of the law of analogy, we can learn to look at any set of facts and quickly discern their spiritual essence, their spiritual equivalent, the truth above the mean. And this gives the mind potentially a tremendous advantage in being able to interpret life and to reveal the nature of God to man, in other words, to ourselves. And it's the perfect tool. That's the endowment. The future, the destiny, lies in the Ace of Swords, which, of course, is the Ace of spiritual level, and it represents spirit itself or energy. Now, that energy could be health, if you need healing. It could be balance or justice. It could be a sense of well-being. It could be inspiration. It could be creativity. It doesn't matter what label you use to describe this. The labels are labels we invent here on Earth to help us grasp the nature of the energy. But the inner essence of any form is always energy. Always energy. Energy seeking to express itself. Energy seeking to reveal itself, to transform. Now notice here that this repeats the same pattern as the Ace of Rods. The sword is planted firmly in the ground, just as the rod was, and it is planted in the fertile soil of ancient evil, these patterns, and it's growing two pure roses, two white roses, symbolic of purity. And this is very much repeated from the Two of Cups. But now it's clear that although they are discrete forms, they are one and the same. Their similarity, their identity, even at the level of form, has been revealed. They're both perfect white roses, both representing purity. And it's the spirit, the energy of spirit, that has revealed this. So we've gone from the Two of Cups, where we recognize the male and the female, and we recognize the differences, to now where all we can see are the similarities. And this is why the Christ talks about things. You've been told to love your neighbor as yourself. I say to you that you must learn to love your enemy as your neighbor. And, humanity still has a lot to learn in that degree. But if we can see the inner nature of the humanity of those who oppose us, even if it's far from perfection, even if they're leading people down a primrose path, if we're able to recognize that spark of identity, the energy within them, then we can deal with them in an honest, straightforward way, with equilibrium, with fairness, with justice. And therefore, the differences disappear and become unimportant, revealing the essence of identity. Okay, I'm going to pause there and entertain any further comments or questions before I move on to the Pillar of Revelation. Anybody?
Hi, a point of clarification.
Yeah?
You keep talking about the Ace of Rods. What I'm seeing on your screen is the Ace of Cups.
Oh, that's a boo-boo. It's the Ace of Rods. I'm not looking at the screen. So I will repair that damage after the session. I'm glad you pointed that out. That is not the card that is down there. It's the Ace of Rods. So you can imagine the Ace of Rods. Mimi, you had something? If a what?
Sine wave, S-I-N-E wave.
Oh, well, it can be a symbol for the expression of various energies, not necessarily every energy. But if you think in terms of the economy, yes, the sine wave is a proper symbol or graphical display of that particular energy, but different energies work on different frequencies and have different graphs. So in part, yes, but in
yeah, I was just thinking as the above,
so below. Well, the oriental symbol of the yin and the yang, the there's a word for the symbol, but I can't remember it right now. That would show the wholeness. And the one side moving into the other side and that side moving into the first side, that's a good symbol for the law of analogy and the idea of wholeness. Anything else? Well, let's go on then. Let me remute because I'm still getting an echo. We come then to the pillar of revelation, and this is the Queen of Rods. And the Queen of Rods is a queenly figure with a great big flower and a rod, and then more of these patterns of ancient evil. And this is an interpretive law that points the way toward meaning. It's like Hansel and Gretel leaving a breadcrumb trail so they can find their way back out of the forest by retracing their steps. Well, as divine life and energy enters incarnation through the principle of involution, it leaves behind a trail so that we can retrace it and find our way back to the origin. And that's the virtue. Our quest for meaning is itself a revelation of meaning. We wouldn't have this thirst for understanding who we are and what the purpose of life is unless there was a purpose of life and it was trying to make itself known to us. And it's through the law of analogy that we train the mind to respond to this. So as the real question emerges here, then we should formulate this into a question that is, what is the inner design of whatever aspect of life I'm studying? What is the inner design of the economy? What is the inner design? What are the inner forces? What are the inner energies at work in the unfoldment of America's destiny? What is the inner design of the and inner energies that have led Europe to the state of crisis that they're in? What and so on and so on and so on. Anything that, what is the inner design of sex? What is the inner design of opportunities? What is the inner design of hunger and thirst? You can take any facet of human life. What's the inner design of ill health? Well, the answer, of course, is health. Energy itself operates always in a healthy way, but when we deflect that energy or it goes haywire to some degree, then ill health, conditions of ill health can ensue. What is the inner design? What is the inner meaning of death? There's a biggie. What is the inner meaning of death? Well, it's the way in which the soul is liberated. And it's always, as I've said many times, it's always an outburst. The moment of dying is an outburst of great joy and celebration at the conclusion of another experience of life. And the soul doesn't look at it as a successful life or an unsuccessful life. All experience brings its own reward and its own enrichment, which propels the soul further down the road. So the real question is, what is the inner nature of the energies of the situation? And in the process of tracing the ideas and forces at work back to their source, you come back to the Ace of Swords and that innermost energy. We then go on to the next card, which is the Four of Cups. And the Four of Cups is a card you've seen many times. It's a fellow sitting under a tree, and there's three cups before him. And reaching down out of the clouds of heaven is a fourth cup. It's a hand bearing a fourth cup, either taking it away or adding it to it. I prefer to, in some cases, it talks about missed opportunities, but in this particular case, the hidden forces are the inner dimensions of life that the three cups point to. When we can look at the triangle of the three cups and what each cup contains, then we understand that those cups have been filled by some greater source. And that greater source is above the mean. And so we, as individuals studying life, as Pope said, the proper study of mankind is man. Through an understanding of mankind, we can infer the nature of spirit. Now, this is one of the great uses of the law of analogy, because, again, in addition to the seven notes of the musical scale and the seven colors of the prism and the seven rays and the 7 days of the week and all that sort of stuff, we have an etheric body composed of seven chakras, an astral body with seven chakras, and energy flows through those chakras and awakens them. And there's an analogy here. And there's an analogy also between the human personality, the etheric body, and the seven planets of the solar system. We're meant to explore these analogies. We're meant to understand that the solar system and any system is a system of chakras. We're meant to see that there are chakras in our nation, that the major cities represent different types of chakras, and the energy is meant to flow throughout all of these with equilibrium and in good health. And that flow of energy will expedite commerce, unless, of course, we do something to constipate it and slow it down. And the more we would study that, the more enlightened and illumined we would become. So we look for the ways in which spirit enriches the life of creation, human life, all forms, and so on. And if we do not have this connection with spirit, then our life is relatively empty. It's never completely empty, because we're learning basic lessons, but until we hook up with this inner energy through the law of analogy, we have to conclude that the cups are empty rather than filled. I'm going to take just 5 seconds here. Go ahead. Okay, letting the cat out. Then we come to the next card, which is the spiritual ideal, and we have the Ten of Pentacles, which is a man and a woman, the same man and woman from the Two of Cups, no doubt, but now there's a child, an offspring, and they're standing under this arch, this perfect arch, and looking across the chasm to the castle. And the castle, of course, represents the vision of spirit, the heavenly abode, the hierarchy, whatever you might want to call it, the inner government of life. That connection, that location of Shambhala, if you wish, that governs all of life on earth. And the man and the woman have become as one and achieved a connection to this, and they know their ashramic identity. But the little baby Jesus here is looking back at the rest of life. So again, the idea here is that we understand the nature of spirit. We get to the point where we are an agent of spirit. We're able to be in the world but not of the world, and yet our role here, when we have, when we're in physical incarnation, our role is to go forth and multiply and involve ourselves, involve spirit in the work of transforming the earth. So that's the spiritual ideal. Our final card then, which we've already talked about a little bit, the card of fulfillment, is the Hermit. And the Hermit is got kind of a sock cap on and a robe, choir robe. He's carrying a lamp, and he's looking in the inner dimensions. He's looking, he's pouring his way through the archetypal levels of life and identifying with them. And once again, he's seeking wholeness here. This is the key to exploring the mind of God and its laws. The law of analogy lets us, opens the book of life to us, opens up tremendous knowledge and wisdom to anybody who's willing to train the mind to operate with the law of analogy. And the fulfillment of using the law of analogy. It also suggests that the law of analogy is a very important safeguard in learning to think, because it's something that, as I think I indicated earlier, verifies your intuitive perceptions. You are meditating, you're working at the intuitive level, and you get perceptions of life, and you'll wonder, well, what was the source of this? Is this actually spirit, or is it something else? You can use the law of analogy to trace this back to its source and verify its validity. And so once again here, we come to a fulfillment that embodies the original purpose of our quest, and that is to interpret life. The law of analogy is a means for interpreting life and then becoming a fully qualified, fully active agent or representative of spirit on earth, capable of directing the energies of life, the inner essence of life, through any aspect of expression that we choose. All right, I'm going to pause there and unmute and entertain any comments or questions. Anything at all? Anybody? Somebody say something so I know you're there.
Well, I was thinking of Plato's cave, too, as you were speaking of this. And I don't know if this is off the wall. It seemed to have some meaning for me in understanding the law of analogy, too.
Uh-huh. Well, of course, Plato's cave is an allegory. All allegories are analogies. Absolutely. Anybody else?
Well, for me, it seems like the alphabet still below its first expression of discovery. To then become an expression after you did all this reading, to give more something expression of how to live your life.
Right, and ultimately, we discover that any discovery that's going to have any meaning at all must transform us. We must register it in our own life and demonstrate the transformation in our life. We become the force of revelation. Not our words, not the fancy books and poems we write. They can help, but it's our own life that transforms life on Earth, and we're the vessel for bringing spirit in the form. So this is one of the most important tools of thinking. Anybody else?
I was thinking, Carl, and when I researched the subject for last year's Golden Altar, the thing that struck me was the law of analogy and how, you know, Christ was using that. He would tell his stories to try and get people to understand. He would say, "The kingdom of heaven is like."
Sure.
And, you know, those analogies were very powerful, I think.
Well, like I said earlier, they tease the mind. They draw the mind in to start thinking about this and pondering on this. And then the spiritual reality can meet it halfway and set up a pattern of resonance so that there's a real revelation. Good. Anybody else? Well, that's it for this session. I thank you all, and that's it.